you might think a piece of classical music composed about a symposium on different philosophers would not be terribly romantic. You'd be wrong. The Illinois Symphony Orchestra will demonstrate that tomorrow evening with a performance of Leonard Bernstein's Serenade for Orchestra. In this conversation with GLT's Charlie Schlenker, ISO Music Director Ken Lamb says the work shows the two sides of Bernstein's personality, the deeply emotive and the heady man of ideas.
I think Bernstein, has always been, and he said so himself, you know, a composer of theater. And he takes a lot of inspiration from words. You have to look at, you know, of course, the Serenade after the symposium, The Age of Anxiety, you know, after Auden's poem, and all his theater work. So he gets inspired by words. A lot of times he said, well, these are just feelings that he has to the work. Sometimes you can't help but notice even a dramatic progression, you know, through what the text says. And I think Bernstein, I mean, that's in many ways, that's what all great artists are. They both have the Apollonian and the Dionysian. You know, you have to have kind of both sides.
Take us through the progression of those feelings in this five-movement concerto form serenade, would you?
Well, first of all, the serenade, it's his violin concerto in disguise. It's a very, very difficult violin concerto written for Isaac Stern. And so when you look at the different movements, you know, these are, I think, seven philosophers in the symposium talking about, you know, really celebrating love and what love is and what love means. And Bernstein, the way he wrote it was to sort of really capture the spirit of the speeches. You have to depict the doctor. It's a very, very fast movement with hiccups. Described it was that he, because it's the same subject matter, love, so you hear this motif at the very beginning, and the whole piece is really a transformation, a variation of this motif, so representing different aspects of love. And you can hear this very clearly. Sometimes this motif is in the foreground as a melody, sometimes it is in the background as an accompaniment. And sometimes it is augmented and varied. So I think this is a way of using musical forms to represent what he thought of the text.
There are a couple of parallels between the Serenade and the Mahler First Symphony, the Titan Symphony. Both Mahler and Bernstein, of course, are Titans, and both works appear to have been inspired by words. In Mahler's case, it was a book called Titan by a guy named Jean-Paul. How did that work manifest itself in Mahler's music?
If you look at music written the time of Mahler, it really started with Beethoven, you know, before music was written for perhaps, you know, nobility and princes for their entertainment. Composers were like, you know, basically court entertainers. Since Beethoven's time, composers wrote music for themselves, to express themselves. And Mahler really took it to the extreme. If you look at this first symphony, the Titan, you know, who's the hero in this symphony? It's Mahler himself. So in many ways, I think, yes, I mean, he was inspired by the book, but he was really writing about himself. It was really about his struggles, his you know, his relationship with nature, and it's all about him. And that's kind of what romanticism is, you know, the elevation of the individual.
The work came at a time when program music was really just coming into vogue, and he started it with the title Titan, and then he said, you know what, I'm going to yank the title. I don't like the idea of a program music. We're just going to try and view the work as it is. Does that detract from its romantic spirit or enhance it? Or how should we reflect on that choice?
I think, program music has been around for a long time. And, you know, in particular, in symphonic music, really started with Berlioz. And then the whole school, you know, going in that Liszt and Wagner and so on. I think what Mahler was trying to say is that, of course, there is a dramatic narrative to the music, but he doesn't want people to limit it to, like, okay, well, this measure is about birds, or this measure is about love or struggle. I think, in many ways, you look at the notes and you listen to music, and you can apply it to your own experiences. And because when we live in the 21st century, these notes may mean something different than what it meant in the 19th century. I think there's a timelessness to Mahler's music that shouldn't be restricted by, you know, a certain image. But of course, you know, he was inspired by these images.
Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Ken Lamb, the music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, in advance of Friday evening's concert at the BCPA. This is the first concert where people will be able to access an app at the same time. It's called NQ. There is commentary that happens as the concert rolls along. This tends to go against the high church kind of sensibility of becoming wrapped in the music. What does it add and what does it detract, depending on where you sit in that spectrum?
That's actually a very interesting question, especially all because of the pieces that we're playing. As we all know, music, I think I mentioned earlier, was really before Beethoven and Mahler's time, was written to entertain people. So, you know, in an opera house, you know, people would be eating, you know, playing cards and engaging in conversation, throwing stuff onto the stage. If they like something, they will clap, and if they don't like something, they'll boo. It's very, very common until really the time of Beethoven and Mahler. And Mahler, famously, when he was director of the Vienna State Opera, I mean, he was the guy who turned round to the audience, stared them down until they were absolutely quiet before he would start the downbeat to his concert. You know, this is a tenet of romanticism, which means I have something so important to say to you that you better be quiet. While I can completely see the music of Mahler demands that kind of attention, it might be different if you're playing a Rossini overture. And I think the music itself, and that's the magic of music, the music itself tells us what kind of atmosphere it demands.
What will people get from this app during the Bernstein?
It's a sort of running commentary on, you know, okay, you're going to be hearing a really fast section now, or, you know, with lots of percussion, and this is the, you know, the recapitulation, or some sort of more detailed running commentary of what is actually in the music. I mean, this is the climax of the movement. You know, for musical nerds like myself, you know, I might have appreciated something like that when I was young. When I go to the concert, you know, of course, I would read the program notes and really try and follow the music, especially if it's something that I'm not familiar with.
I went to these concerts because I want to learn something.
Now, there are times also when I go to a concert, I just want to relax and let the music does its work for me. So I think this gives us a chance.
Ken Lamb is the music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. He's speaking with GLT's Charlie Schlenker. The orchestra performs works by Mahler and Bernstein tomorrow evening at the BCPA. You can discover more local music and hear from artists playing in Central Illinois in the GLT Music Podcast. Find it on NPR One or your favorite podcast app. You're listening to Leonard Bernstein conduct the Vienna Philharmonic in Mahler's First Symphony.